The Lord is his name. Have you been marinating a little bit on that? Have you been asking anything of him? Have you dared to? He said, come boldly before my throne. Are we coming boldly to him? And asking, but not just asking, but asking. Somebody got it in here. Do you say largement? No, you don't. Can you? Yeah, but it's not as good, is it? I can see by the look on your faces you're being kind to me. The pastor, he will learn a little more of his time, yes. But ask largely with hearts that expect more from him because he is a big God. He's everything. And I hope that's beginning to fill your hearts. Well, I want to spin off of that and lead into something else today that adds to that. So if you turn in your Bibles or as you follow, we'll go to Luke chapter 15. It's a wonderful chapter. The theme of the chapter is basically God loves the world and he wants all men to come to him and to follow him. And there are many stories there and parables that explain that theme even more clearly to us. And this is one of them, a parable that you all probably know quite well, called the parable of the prodigal son. You remember the story of a young man who had a brother. Their father apparently was quite wealthy. And the young man came at a very early age and said, Father, give me my inheritance. I want it now. When you're young and foolish, you say those things, don't you? He was saying, notice, give me, give me, give me. Moi, it's all about moi, right? Here, here. And his father, surprisingly, gave it to him. What did he do with it? Whew, he squandered it. He blew it in no time. In no time, he found himself eating among the pigs. Quite a life. He realized his foolishness. He came back to his father. What did his father do? His father did something very strange for the Jewish culture. He forgave him to begin with, but his father ran out to meet him. A father would not do that in Jewish culture, would let his son come to him in great repentance and sorrow and let him suffer a little. That might not be too bad for some of us to suffer a little more. Why are you frowning at me? It's hard to say yes to that. But his son came. And his words changed. He no longer said, Father, give me, give me, give me. He said, Father, make me. Make me just as one of your servants. I don't deserve any more. A humble heart, a changed heart. And the father responded. Isn't it interesting? Excuse me. Isn't it interesting that it's called the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal in Hebrew basically refers to something very unusual, not the norm, something very surprising, not typical. Well, this was not very typical of this son to grab his inheritance, squander it, and be foolish. Of course, that's not the wise thing to do. But don't you also see how his father was a prodigal father? In the positive sense, his father was very unusual, very unordinary, and poured out his love on his son, even though his son did a horrible, horrible thing. Think about that. You wonder if the name of the parable should not be something different. But that leads us to something we need to look at a little more today. and the point of it all. And I want to read the scripture that relates directly to this, out of this parable. Follow it with me as I read it to you as clearly as I can. Meanwhile, this is after all this happened, the father welcomed the son back. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became very happy for his brother, saying, "Ah, merci Dieu. Ah, no, au contraire, a big contraire." He became angry. He refused to go in. Not like any of us would be. We'll move right along. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Here's the heart of his father again. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." Sounds like a legalist, doesn't it, to you? Legalism to the full, based on your behavior, what you do, what you don't do. You deserve something. But we have none of that in the church today, do we? "But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed a fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, now get these words, "you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost, now he's found." What a contrast. What a contrast. Don't you wonder if this should not be called the parable of the prodigal older brother? Because there's a big lesson here, and it's probably the lesson that most of the church needs to hear. Not the other brother, but this brother should be more of the focus, very likely. And how we could learn from that in the church today. Amen? Say with me, "I could learn from that." Liars. Every one of us can. Every one of us can. Our hearts can be tricky. Our hearts can be foolish at times. Amen? When they're not under the anointing of God's Spirit, we need to give attention, right? Pay close attention. So, Father, I ask you'll take these things and take every precious heart here and say something to that heart, my heart as well. You know what each of us needs to hear. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you know us well and you will say something to us. And then the challenge is for us to respond. Maybe repent, maybe obey in some way, but to respond. So give us your grace, so we will. And thank you that you're here. And everyone said, amen. So here are the words. "My son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours." Familiar words, but it really shows us so much of the heart of our Father in heaven. We often focus on the Father's heart for his son, what he did for him. But we often forget this part, the revelation of the Father's heart for the older son. You see? And what he wanted to do for him as well. Look at part of this parable with me. The prodigal God, calling out to his prodigal sons and daughters, you could raise your hands now. We are prodigal from time to time and go off in our wandering ways in a negative way sometimes, don't we? And it's good sometimes to raise our hands, or maybe both our hands. You're smiling at me, but no hands are going up. Thank you, Valpurga. Yeah. C'est nous. It's us. It's we. Let's take a look. But isn't it interesting? We see a prodigal God calling out to his prodigal sons and daughters, whether younger or older sons and daughters of the Father. And he's tugging at our hearts with two prodigal things, may I put it that way. Out of the ordinary, surprising things. Big question today for this morning. Do you know you have an inheritance? Or didn't you know that? My parents aren't here. I don't have an inheritance. Oh, yes, you do, if you're a follower of Jesus. Did you know that? Clement, did you know? You have a big inheritance. Your father just hasn't told you yet. He told me, though. Your heavenly father, your father who is even bigger than your earthly father, may I say it with all due respect, has an amazing inheritance for you. No comparison. Did you know that? If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to be reminded this morning you have an inheritance. And boy, is it super. Unbelievable. And it isn't just for the life to come. We generally think of it that way. It is also for life now. Part of it is, and a significant part of it is, for now. Say now with me. Do you know what now means? Now, yes. That's what it means. Now. Not just later. Stop for a moment and think of that. Now, in this inheritance, I want to just point out two quick things that are mentioned to us here. Through the words of the Father that are speaking in metaphor, of course, but speaking to us of something real, truly real. Notice he said, my son, you are what? Always with me. Now think of the word presence. Presence. His presence. Think of it, friends. He, our Father, is always available to us. We have the possibility of unbroken fellowship with the living God. Yes, but Pastor, I'm not perfect. Yes, but the possibility is there. And we can get better and better and better at it. No one of us is perfect. No one of us is sinless. But as we grow in a relationship with Him, as we let Him fill us with His life more and more and more, we will sin less. We won't be sinless, but we will sin less and less and less. Can I get an amen with that one? You know what the challenge is in that. But it's there. There is the possibility of unlimited, uninterrupted fellowship with the living God. Now you can go home. Think about that, all right? That's enough to think about. I am always with you. That was the privilege of God's people in Old Testament times. I'm going to run you through a few quick verses to let it hit you again. Look at this, running all through the Old Testament and then into the New. Enoch. Enoch did what? What is the main commentary, one little sentence about Enoch in the Scripture? There was not much else at all said about him, and this is what it says. Enoch walked with God. Would you like that to be your obituary on your tombstone? I would love to have just those words on mine. David walked with God. Someone asked the quickest, fast question, what about Jean? What was his life like? Jean walked with God. Oh. May it be so. Enoch. God's promise to Jacob. Jacob, the schemer that he was. Look at how God dealt with him and worked with him. That's the story. God's story for us. His heart for us. God said to him, I'm with you. I will watch over you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you. Say that. Will not leave you till I've done what I've promised you. His promise to Israel through Moses. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The presence of God with Israel was what distinguished them from anyone else. This is taught all through the New Testament as well. Look at what Jesus said, just these words of Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We'll get into that sometimes. Sometimes the teaching, the obeying comes out of the love. It isn't just summoning up your own strength to obey. But that's another thing. But he says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him. I and my Father will come to him, make our home with him. Are you making a home with your Father? Are you letting him make a home with you and Jesus with him? There's a home beyond all homes. Think of it. If you know Jesus personally, if you are following him, he's living his life in you and through you, you have an amazing privilege. You get to live every moment of your life in fellowship with him, the living God. I've been saying this to you a lot. This is the core of the Christian life and what everything else comes out of. There are many Christians, maybe the majority, who think the main work of the Holy Spirit is to convict and to convert. And they forget the conviction and conversion. It's like a house. How many of you have a front door in your house or your apartment? You have a door. How would you like it if you went to visit Arsene and you knock on his door? He comes, opens the door, and he says, bienvenue, mon ami. And you hug and the usual thing, kisses on both cheeks and all that stuff. Which I kind of like the French, the way they do that. And then he says, it's so good to see you. And then he walks away and goes off and does his business in his house that he has to do, take care of. And you're standing there in the doorway. And you say, Arsène, where on earth are you? I've come to visit you. He says, nice to see you. And he leaves you in the doorway. You would hope, as a good friend, he would welcome you into his home and you could sit in the living room or the dining room or in the kitchen and help him make dinner for you or whatever. God, may I say this? Listen to me when I say this. Do not misinterpret me when I say this. Salvation, coming to know God personally, the initial step, is not all there is. That is only a small beginning. Huh? Are you coming with me on that? God has given us the ability to come to Him through what Jesus has done, so we can have our sins forgiven, so we can be washed clean, so then there is nothing between us and God, and we can have intimate communion, fellowship with Him. But He doesn't intend to leave it there. There are deeper things He wants. He wants us to come in through the doorway and then enjoy all the rooms in the home. And there are all kinds of things that are there. And how many people just come to the doorway and all their lives, all they're doing is standing at the doorway. And they're missing the enjoyment, the fullness, the amazing dynamics of this part, that part, that part of this amazing house of the kingdom of life in Him, what it is. Friends, if you are just standing at the door right now, go farther and see what's there. Don't be satisfied with just standing at the door. And this is what some of this is talking to us about. There is so much more. Now, there's the first part of the inheritance. Presence. His presence. How precious that is. But there's more. That's the second part of His statement. You notice? What else did the Father say? We're always together. You're always with me. I'm always with you. And everything I have is yours. Now there is an inheritance. The key word, provision. Abundant provision. Presence, provision. He who did not spare His own Son, the Father, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? We're fussing and worrying about having this or that, worrying about, I don't know if we're going to have enough food this week, or I need a new shirt or a new jacket or da da da, or oh, I can't, can we afford this or can we do this? Da, 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 da. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And what's He say? Everything I have is yours. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about these things. He didn't spare His own Son. If we've got Jesus, friends, what don't we have? If He gave us His own Son, sacrificed His own Son, do we think He won't give us anything else that we need? All things. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, all things are yours. You are of Christ and Christ is of God. Look at the connection. Christ has done for you, and through Him, you even have a direct connection with God Himself, the Father. Say all things. Say it again. Second Peter 1. He has given us what? Everything we need for life. I don't know if I'm gonna make it through life. He's given us all things for life. But I don't know if I can really grow in Him and grow in holiness or the fullness of the Spirit, letting Him work more and more in my life. He's given us everything for godliness. Do you believe it? Will you begin to receive that with me today? Marinate for just a second in that. Everything. We have Christ's life, His love, His Spirit, His enabling, His glory, and more. All things. My son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. Do you see, friends? His faithful presence, His abundant provision. Say it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can say this with all confidence. I have an amazing inheritance. Say it to the person next to you. You better have an amazing inheritance. In other words, I hope you know Jesus today and you're a follower of His. So what do we say in all this? So many of us go through this and we say, yeah, I know this. I know this. What is the challenge for so many of us when we're faced with this amazing truth like this? What's the amazing thing after that that challenges us? Are we going to faire? Are we going to do it? Are we going to practice it? We're going to actually walk this out in faith and live it. Why didn't the older son have a fattened calf? Why didn't he have one? What did his father tell him? His father gave the answer. You could have asked. When you go home today, ask for a fattened calf. Maybe literally you need one. Maybe something else that's far more important than a fattened calf. The question is, what's your calf, right? What's your calf that you need? Everything available to him, yet he never enjoyed it. And he threw the whole blame on his father. It's all your fault. You never gave me this. Friends, look at what the scripture says. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. How do you interpret blameless? I know what many of you would interpret as saying. Perfect. Sinless, like we just talked about. Blameless means you're applying his principles to your life. And when you make a mistake, when you sin, some kind of error, you make it right. You confess it. You deal with it as it needs to be before God. And as best you can, you make that thing right. That's what a blameless person is. It's not a sinless person. Now, do you have more hope today? I hope you walk out of here with much more hope. You can be a blameless person. Every one of us needs to be. We can be. That's what Jesus is all about. So, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Say that to the person next to you. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. No, forget the second part.
Now Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, God is able to make how much grace abound to you? All. All. This was a promise made to everyone in that fellowship he was writing to. Everyone. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us we have available to us a joy that is inexpressible and glorious. It doesn't necessarily mean happiness by the world's definition of happiness, but it means joy, which is far deeper and far more far-reaching than happiness. Romans 5. He's poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God, give me love. God, give me love. Give me love. I want love. He's already poured it out into your heart. Lord, give me patience. Give me patience. I've already given it to you by the fruit of the Spirit that's in you. Why are you begging for it? It's there. Take it. And everything else, love, joy, peace. Patience. Anybody need patience? No, don't put your hands down. We don't want to cause trouble. It's there. We don't need to beg for it. So often we beg God, oh God, I need. We go worrying and fussing and whatever. And he's saying, what's the problem? It's sitting right there. Take it. Just take it. I want you to have it. It's there through me. Sweetheart, could you give me that cup? She didn't put a cup in my bag this morning. Of course, I didn't tell her, but that doesn't matter. Pardon. Aaron, who wants to be a guinea pig this morning? Oh, okay, you do? All right, come on up. Oh, Leah, you can pick who's going to be the guinea pig. Oh, I see your finger pointing to Aaron. Okay. All right, Aaron. Aaron is the blessing of God. Isn't he, Leah? Oh, all right, we won't get into that. Now, you're pouring out your blessing. That's what he says. He's given it to the believer or the unbeliever. He pours out his blessing on the sun shines, the rain falls, the sun shines sometimes, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The scripture says, God is trying to show he really cares about his creation. He's pouring things out. Now, show me that you're pouring out your blessing down here. That's right. Really pouring it down. It's exactly right. Very good. Very good. You should be an actor. All right. Don't stop. You're pouring. God always pours. Always. Always. Don't stop. No. Here are you. Here's the cup of your life. And you hear so often people saying, I don't have God's blessing. I don't have an inheritance. Life is so hard. Pour it out. Pour it out. Life is so hard. And here's your cup. And here's your cup. No, you can't have that. This is my cup. You keep pouring it out. Here's my cup. How on earth do you get his blessing into my cup when my cup is like this? What do I have to do? Many of us get maybe partway, and we get some sprinkles or a couple drops in here, and we think, oh, God is good, I guess. And we never know the fullness of his total filling that we could have. Amen. He's awesome. He's a good actor. Well, now, don't go too far with that. Yeah, thank you very much. Do you see the point? How many of us are living life like this or like this? And then we complain? We wonder? It's simple. At least, I think it's simple. even though I'm not totally there yet, but it's registering a little more in my heart, I hope, in my head too. I want to encourage us today to take a new step, every one of us, because every one of us is on a journey. Every one of us is growing, I hope. But I want to encourage you and give you an assignment for this week, all of you students of Jesus, and those of you who aren't, try and experiment. Make sure your cup is up. If you bump into one of your friends, brother and sister, say, is your cup up? You can have a little fun with the English language, too. Is your cup up? Or you slip and do something wrong, you say, oh, my cup was not up. Because you'll be amazed. If you sit in the presence of Jesus a few times this week, and I'm encouraging you to do that, too, right? Be still, as he says, be still and know that I'm God. Just listen, develop listening ears for a few minutes even, for a few days out of the week. Jesus, how's my cup? Do I need to do some adjusting? Do I need to see something from you? Because I can't see as clearly as you can. And then just be still. It's amazing what you hear or see or sense from his Spirit. And where need be, we can simply say, Lord, I'm lifting my cup up as best as I know how. I have a lot to learn, but I know you love me, so help me. Help me on this journey. He will respond. He loves it. Every one of us can do that. That's your assignment this week. And I want you to come back in here next week going, my cup is up. Yes. Hi, brother, is your cup? We should be doing that more, nudging each other in these things. How are you doing? Yeah. Because, friends, if we don't, we will become content with the low life of unbelief, just like the older son. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I hope we can all say we don't want that for each other. Let's help each other in that and pray for each other in that. Encourage each other, guide each other where we can. So we will never get anywhere near the low life of unbelief. This is belief. This is a little belief. A little. This is unbelief. None of us. None of us. Let's say in faith together this morning, never again. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll seal these things on our hearts more. Teach us and grow us, even in this week, we say, in faith together. And I would encourage you this morning to say to him, Father, by your help, I will begin now a new life of faith. And I believe that I can always be in your presence. I believe all that you have is mine. Not selfishly, but in an excited way. That I can take your blessing and use it to be a blessing. And now I'm going to start spending my inheritance. I'm going to start using what you pour into me by your powerful grace and your Spirit in me and upon me. And I would encourage you this morning as we're bowed in prayer, perhaps you have never decided openly to follow Jesus. You've never actually asked him to forgive your sins and begin to live his life in you and make you a new creation in him. Today is a day you can begin. We're all on a journey. We're all encouraging each other on the journey.
wherever we may be. We don't look down on each other for where we're at along the journey. We're just excited that we're all following along together. And I encourage you, choose to follow him now.